Was there any key you didn't touch? You gave that piano a good workout, and praise the Lord. Well, beloved, if you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, and John chapter 1 is where we're going to see our key verse played out this morning, so I'm kind of putting you in a place where we're going to be, but John chapter 1, the reason we're going there is because we see the recording of Jesus coming and what it was all about. Jesus coming, and we're going to look at a key verse that's in your sermon handout notes. You'll see it there from 2 Corinthians 9:15, which John 1 will help us to obey. And so that's kind of getting you all in the right places. Christmas is a season where gifts are given and gifts are received. If you are like some of my best friends, his mother, your Christmas shopping was done before Halloween. You're done. You've been done. You've got it all wrapped up and ready to go. Some of us are in the midst of it. And let's be honest, we'll have an invitation later on. Some of us have not started yet. So you have 7 more sleeps, I believe. But it's a season of giving gifts, of preparing something to bless somebody. And one of the main reasons that we give gifts around the Christmas season is to express in a smaller way the greatest gift that was ever given to us by God. And so Christmas allows us to be little Christs, Christians, little reflections, image bearers of God's generous character. And so we take a special time out of the year and we generously give gifts to one another in the name of the Lord and for the blessing of the recipient. So our gift giving is, in a much smaller way, a reflection of the greatest gift of all. Now, in 2 Corinthians, when Paul is writing to the Corinthians in chapter 9, he is raising up an offering, a financial offering among the churches to bring to the church in Jerusalem who has financial need. And he's been expressing to the church in Corinth, which is a wealthy city, you are well positioned to provide a gift. There are churches in much poorer regions that begged to participate in this gift giving because they want to reflect that heart of God. They want to follow and model their Savior Jesus, who became poor so that we might become rich by coming to earth. And in the end of his description of why give the gift, how give the gift, what God looks for in gift givers, he sums it all up. He puts the principle in place that moves everything else and is the rationale for why anybody gives any gift in the name of God, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, in which he says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And this morning, Lord willing, we are going to unwrap this verse, looking at John 1, many places which we could look, but John 1 to guide us in some of this. And when we do, we want to learn 2 things about this verse. The first is, what's so great about the inexpressible gift? That word inexpressible, you may have a different English word. The Greek word is almost inexpressible, anekdiagetos. See, I can't even say it, anekdiagetos. And it basically means we can't find words for this. We don't have enough words to rightly describe the goodness and the greatness of what this is. That's the word. That's what the word is meant to convey. And Paul is saying, thanks be to God for a beyond words kind of gift and blessing to us, which we know in Corinthians in his letter is he's talking about Jesus Christ. So we want to look at what's so great about God's great inexpressible gift to us through Jesus. We're going to try to unpack that. Then we're also going to look at how do we give thanks? If God is worthy of rendering thanks unto him for this inexpressible gift, how do we render thanksgiving to God for this inexpressible gift? So we're going to learn a few things about that. And to help, I just want to start with an illustration that we're going to unpack the whole illustration, and then we're going to bit by bit show pieces of it. So I have asked some helpers to come help me. And helpers, you know who you are. Don't be shy. Just come right on up to the table. As you see, I've got 3 kids coming, and I need a big kid. So Sean Harding, I need you to come on up. And you guys, I didn't even tell you what to do, and you've already done it. Sean, I need you to be by the big one. That one's got some weight to it, okay? So I didn't want that one to get dropped on accident. We have 4 gifts here. And William, you're going to have the stocking, and Aurora will give you the red gift. You'll take the light blue gift, Cole, and Sean will have the big gift. But before we do, I need you to raise your right hand, hold your 2 fingers in the air, and say after me, I realize,
I
that these are not actual gifts. That I will have to give them back to Pastor Adam. Thank you. Okay. All right. So, William, go ahead and unpack what's in that stocking. And we'll hold it up so people can see. We've got some toothpaste, some shampoo, and some soap, which is why they need to go back to Pastor Adam. You want these to go back to Pastor Adam eventually, right? All right, so we've got some toothpaste, some shampoo, some soap. Let's see what you have, Aurora. Rip into that. And Cole, why don't you rip into yours as well, and we'll hold yours up in a minute. Don't be shy. Just find a crease and rip. Hold it up high, Cole. You need some help popping that open. You might want to flip it over. There you go. Just rip it open like that. There we go. All right, what's in there? You probably don't know what that is. Just hold it up. Yeah. What else is in there? Drumsticks and a drum pad. Drumsticks and a drum pad. So we got some toothpaste and some shampoo, drumsticks and a drum pad. We've got a board game. All right, Sean, be careful. My wife said, should I tape it? I said, just a little bit. She taped it good. All right, be careful with that one. Oh, that's the McCune Family Bible, all right, from 1860, all right, good. All right, you can set those back down, and thanks for helping. All right, thanks. We'll come back. No, sir. Why these, and what do they teach us, and how does this connect to John chapter 1? Well, hopefully we'll see these things happen. Down here we have some pretty good gifts, and there's good gift givers and bad gift givers, and we all know in our family who the good ones are. Right? You hope that you are one. But there's some qualities of a great gift, aren't there? There's certain things about a gift that makes it good, that makes it great. And my argument from the scriptures is that God's inexpressible gift meets and exceeds the standards for all four at the same time. These are four standards of gift giving that we would recognize at Christmas time. The first one is a great gift includes something that is needed. Something that is needed. A great gift includes something that is needed. So toothpaste and maybe new clothes or shampoo, soap, things that we might need. We know we're going to use them, we're going to consume them, and to not have to buy them, to receive them as a gift, that's a blessing. A great gift gives something that's needed. Well, I want to look at John chapter 1 and see that Jesus Christ, God's gift to us, is a provision for something we desperately need. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, I'll read the text and then draw our attention to a particular part of it. It says this in John chapter 1, verse 9, regarding Jesus. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We see in the opening verses there, verses 9 and 10, that the true light, Jesus, he's the one who gives light and life to all people. And we're going to unpack that in a minute too, but there's a problem. He came to give us life and light from God, and yet the world did not know him. And his own people, the Israelites, who should have known him, would not receive him. And this is evidence of our darkness, of the blindness to the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're blind to it because of our sin. If God left us alone without bringing Christ to us, we would grow in our sin until we have consumed one another. And then we would face the wrath of God upon our deaths forevermore, the righteous wrath, for living as rebels against him. The world was made through Jesus. He made all things. We belong to him, and yet we don't want to belong to him. We want to belong to ourselves. We are sinners who cannot fix the problem of our sin against God. We cannot change our nature. We can't undo the consequences of the sins we've committed. We can't make up for them, and we will account for every last one of them, and none of us can pay that price. We have a deep need. And God sent Jesus, the true life, or the true light, and the true life, and the truth, to be for us the sin offering that we should give to God but can't pay. The world did not know him. That's us. His own people did not receive him. That's the Israelites here. We don't get God. We don't want God until God gives us the ability to see him for who he is. And all along, Christ Jesus is a gift that we need. You, friend, need to know who Jesus is. You don't need to know who the starting lineup of today's Bengals are. You don't need to know all the information that you have for your job. That goes with your retirement. It's gone. You do need to know Jesus. And you need to know him as your rescuer from your sin against the God you need to know. This is something we need. So how do we render thanks to God for a gift that we need? By receiving the gift. By receiving the gift, Jesus comes to the earth. He gives his life for us. And the world won't know him. And people dismiss Jesus and move on with their lives, thinking he's not important. But the reality is, you and I must receive this gift by faith. That God has provided a Savior for our sins, and he has asked us to confess that Jesus is Lord and to repent of our sins, believing in the goodness of what Jesus gives us, his life. We need to receive his gift, and I ask you, have you received his gift? Do you know Jesus in this personal way? You need to, and you get to. A second type of gift that's really good is a gift, something that's desired. Something that's desired. When you may have had this experience where you wanted something really bad, and then you got it. And it was like, yes! Or you knew somebody in your family wanted something really bad, and you worked out a plan to get it to them. And you can't wait for that day when they're going to unwrap it and discover it. And it's exciting. When I was 12, or I should start by saying up until the time I was 11, I was a Christmas giving accountant. I would go into my grandparents' house and I would count how many gifts were for me and how many were for my other cousins. And I better be at least even. And then I would size the boxes. I don't want any small boxes. I want the big ones, right? And that was me. When I turned 12, I told my family, I don't want any gifts this year because I want money to save to buy a drum set. I really, really, really want a drum set. And I want no gifts, no presents, no wrapping paper, nothing. Just give me money. And they didn't believe me because they knew me. They're like, really? I'm like, seriously, I won't pitch a fit, I promise. And I kept that promise because I wanted something. And I didn't, all those other gifts would get in the way of it. I just asked for resource to get that drum set, which I got to purchase later on that year. Something that's desired, when you get a gift that you really want, oh, it's fun. When you get to give a gift that somebody really wants, that's fun. The problem that we see in John chapter 1 is we don't desire God. He came into the world, Jesus did, and we didn't know him. He came to his own people, and they would not receive him. But that's not the end of the story, because when God gives us Jesus, he also sends his Spirit to give light to our hearts so that we begin to see Jesus as desirable. You see, a Christian is somebody who's hungry for God because God's changed their hearts. And he did it by the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 1, he says, Jesus is the light that gives light to everyone. You catch that? Where do we get the eyes to see the beauty of who Jesus really is? From Jesus. That's why he's going to tell Nicodemus in a couple of chapters later in John, you need to be born again by the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit of God to awaken your heart to the reality of my glory. And then you'll believe in Christ Jesus and have a new nature that God gives, all because of what Jesus did. Jesus gives light to everyone who trusts in him. He gives us a true understanding of reality. He fills our hearts with what is truly valuable and desirable and honorable and worthy of joy. And on top of all of that, he gives us a greater desire for Jesus. When you talk to Christians whose lives and hearts have been changed by the peace of the Holy Spirit, they will tell you, the most exciting thing for me about heaven is not the place nor the people, but I get to be with my Savior. I want to spend time with him. I want to know more of him. I want to relate to him. Not that the other things are bad. Those are blessings on top of, because of. But the chief blessing is to know Jesus Christ. Paul will tell this to the Corinthians earlier in his letter, this inexpressible gift. He'll say to the Corinthians, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone where? In your hearts." To do what? To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where do we find that? In the face of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts so that we begin to read the scriptures and we realize God is talking to me through the scriptures because it's his revelation. And I'm seeing that Jesus is desirable and beautiful and worthy of worship. And he's my teacher and he's my Lord and my rescuer and my provider. And the more you know Jesus, the bigger he just gets. I think it was said in C.S. Lewis as one of his Narnia Chronicles, I think it was Lucy, she had grown up and she saw Aslan again and she went and hugged Aslan and she's, even though she's a grown up now, she's like, "You've gotten bigger." How is that? He goes, "Well, as you get bigger, I get bigger." The more you know about Jesus, the bigger he gets, the more beautiful he is. The more desirable he is. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus sent to us and makes possible because he's paid for our sin and we can be made right with God. And now we can be made holy as the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and we learn about Jesus. Amen. So what do we do then? How do we give thanks to God? If I've been changed by the gospel and I love Jesus and I want Jesus more than a drum set and I want Jesus more than anything this life can give me, like the hymn says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything, then how do I give God thanks? I adore him. Adore him. Treasure him. Praise him. Sing his praise privately. Sing his praise publicly. Sing it corporately with others. Read what Jesus has to say from the scriptures. Praise him in your prayers. Tell his story. Adore Jesus. Paul will tell the Thessalonians, when Jesus comes, the believers will marvel at his appearing. Let's marvel now, right? Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, when I consider you and all that your hands have made. Right? And then when I think of his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, right? Let's adore Jesus. This Christmas, you should have time to adore Jesus, to revel in him, to give thanks for him, to celebrate him, to praise him and sing about him and sing to him privately and together. It's that simple. It's not meant to be complicated, but let us adore Jesus. It's a way in which we render thanks to God for his inexpressible gift. But a great gift might have another quality to it, and that good gifts are shareable, aren't they? Good gifts are shareable. When we receive a gift, sometimes it's more enjoyable if we can share it with somebody else. Maybe it's some delicious chocolates, although you may say, I don't know if I want to share these, right? A gift card to a favorite restaurant, or a board game that you can't play by yourself, right? In our family, we always give something that's needed, something that's wanted, and something that you can share with the rest of the family. And so, like a board game, you can't just sit down and stare at it if you're by yourself. You need others to join in and enjoy the game together. And some gifts are meant to be shared, right? And so is the gift of Jesus. What's interesting about John chapter 1 is here you have the writer of the gospel. We know God inspired John. It's really God's words inspired by the Holy Spirit to John. But John in his writing, he's writing past tense, okay? He's writing past tense about Jesus. And he's saying things that, as you read the whole gospel, you realize this isn't just John bragging about his privilege to know Jesus. This isn't just John going, well, you all lost out because I got to see the real deal, and man, I'll tell you what, it was great. As you read the gospel of John, you realize the purpose of his writing is to share Jesus with you. And he's not just doing it to the Israelites, to God's chosen people. He's blowing the walls off of the boundaries here, and he's saying to all who will receive him, to all, because the offer is to all. Whatever nation you're from, whatever your background, whatever your socioeconomic status, to all who receive Jesus, who will see him for who he is as rescuer and Lord, who will reach out to him in faith, believing in his character, that he is my Savior, to all who will receive him, there will be a privilege that is beyond words, inexpressible, to become by right children of God. And if you were to look further ahead, almost to the end, John chapter 20, after he's almost said everything he's going to say, he says, these things are written to you so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his character, in his name. So John is sharing Jesus with others because the gift, unlike some of the gifts that we share, it doesn't deplete itself. If I have a box of chocolates and I give you half, I've lost half of my chocolate. If I share that gift card and you use half, I lose half of my gift. If I share the love of God by sharing the gospel with you or showing the gospel to you by loving you, I don't lose anything. And you gain everything. I like that math. I like God's math. It doesn't make logical sense, but it makes theological sense. And so we get to share the love of God and lose nothing in the process. Actually, we gain joy in serving like we were meant to serve. So to say thank you to God for his inexpressible gift would be to share it. In the same way, if you were to open a gift, if you have a child and he opens this gift and you know it's meant to be something that's to be played with others, and that child, instead of hoarding it, is like finding his brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and saying, will you play with me? And you're going, yeah. That's why I did that, right? God gives us the gift of Jesus and then allows us to share Jesus with others. So this week and next week, perhaps you're going to be in contact with unbelieving friends and family and people that maybe you don't get all the time in the world to spend with them, but some unique time this week. Know that you can render thanks to God by sharing the good news and by showing Christ-likeness to them, by giving them a picture of why the gospel is so good and so treasured. Our theme this year, our soft theme, has been the agape love of God, the self-giving for the blessing of somebody else without a hook attached. God gives of himself. He gives Jesus Christ. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God gives of himself to bless others. And we all year long, in one way or another, have been looking at what it means to know the love of God and to share the love of God, to show it. And Christmas will provide us unique opportunities for you and me to share God's love. As we said earlier, we have some gospel tracts out there that, you know, tracts are useful. I know of people who've come to Christ just finding a tract somewhere, but the reason we're putting them in your hands is so that as you're having those conversations, as you're hearing your family talk and ask questions, you might be able to guide them in the truth with the Word of God, and that tract can be helpful. Share the love of Jesus. It's one of the ways that we get to say thank you. It's such a good gift, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to have others enjoy it. And the fourth thing about a great gift is when it comes from the heart, right? You ever had a gift from somebody that you knew came right from their heart to yours? They knew something about you. They knew it meant a lot to you. It meant a lot to them, and they're giving that over. And sometimes it's not much monetary value, maybe, but it's straight from them. And so it means a lot to you. The family Bible, the McCune family Bible, is what Sean held up. And that was the last gift that my grandparents gave to me before they went to heaven. And it was on Christmas that I received it. And they had been in heaven for some time by that point, but it was in their will that I receive it and steward it so as to share it down the road. And they knew that I love the Lord, I love his word, I love my family, I want a record of that, I want to keep the record of that. And so knowing those things from their heart, they gave a precious gift. You might see that Bible and go, ooh, but a typical collector would go, ooh, it's got rips in the binding and, you know, there's papers in it that we don't understand. There's some tears in places. The clips don't work anymore. You know, pawn shop's not going to give much for it. But I'm not even letting Sean Harding walk out with it, right? It's a blessing in a special way because it came from two hearts. It means a lot to me. I want you to know, friend, that the salvation God offers you is not just so he can satisfy his anger, which is often how people think of the gospel, that God's an angry God and he's trying to get you out of it. God desires out of his own joy to rescue you so that you will be a glorifier of God for all of eternity. It is God's desire and from his very own heart to give us his son, Jesus, to rescue us. And John 1, among many other places in Scripture, will show this. In John chapter 1, he says this, you were born or made a children of God, you were made a child of God, not because of the will of man, but because that's what God wants to do. He sent Jesus, the true light, to give light to you because he wants to. Do you realize that you're not needed by God, but you are wanted? And I don't know why he wants me, but I'll take it. And friend, oh, don't think too hard about why God wants you. Just know that he does. And turn your heart and life over to him and realize it is his joy and delight to show his mercy to you so as to rescue you and make you into a new creature born in the likeness of his beloved son, Jesus Christ, full of his own spirit and equipped, once resurrection is completed, to never sin again but to only live for the rest of your life in complete obedience, creating blessing after blessing after blessing for all of eternity. This is God's own heart to yours. In 1 John, so when he writes an even later letter, 1 John chapter 4, this is where we started the 2022, January 2nd, 2022. We preach this. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. How? He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then he follows with the word, beloved. Beloved. So, beloved in Christ, I want you to know that God gave you Jesus because his heart was being shared to you. And if you struggle with your assurance and salvation, does God really love me? Or would God keep me? He's already given you the most precious thing he could give. He loves you. I don't know what your Christmas is going to be like. I don't know if you're going to go to a home that is happy and full of shalom and peace, or if you're preparing yourself for a very difficult journey that you've taken before and you know you have to take again. I don't know. The Lord knows. But you can go knowing that God loves you and has given of himself for your good. And he's given you a gift that comes straight from his heart that meets your need, that he will help you to desire more and more every day, and that you get to share. An inexpressibly good gift, Jesus Christ. So how do we say thank you when we know it's from his heart? We enjoy him. Enjoy God's joy in saving you. Westminster Catechism says the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Enjoy God's joy. He delights in saving his children. He delights in gathering them from each generation and eventually all the nations so that one day we will all be together. You know, I've been to some adoptions. I've been to court to witness some official adoptions. And I've also performed weddings, officiated weddings. And when I'm at a wedding, you may be like this too. There's always, I try to take a moment whenever the bride comes in and everybody shifts and turns to the bride. I always try to take a moment to look at the groom. Isn't that a fun moment? You want to see a guy that wants and desires and needs now his bride? Oh, that's a great moment. Can't put words on that. And I've been to some adoptions. And when I've been at the adoptions, I really don't watch the judge. I'm watching the parents-to-be. And what do you see? Do you see people who are angry and bitter? Do you see people who are tense and uptight? Maybe they're nervous. But generally what I see is tremendous joy and longing for this to be official. I want this child to be mine. I want them in my family with my name so they may learn who we are and we can be one again. I want it to be official to where no one can take them from my hands. It's a beautiful, beautiful moment. And do you not think God has the same, if not more intense level of desiring and longing and joy to say, I want that child to be mine, sealed by the Holy Spirit, bought and paid for by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and mine forever. Enjoy the fact that God delights to save you. Enjoy him. He delights in Jesus. You delight in Jesus. He's satisfied by Jesus' death for our sins, so we don't have to worry about our sins, though we should repent of our sins and leave them on this earth in the past where they belong. But we can walk with God in his joy and enjoy him. His joy is our strength. That's what he said. So our celebrations for Christmas, I know how Christmas goes. I've been there, done that a few times. Christmas sometimes is a time of indulgence. It's where we say, okay, we're going to splurge a little, or we're going to be more generous than usual. Or people are like, what's wrong with Daddy? He's happy now. You know, there's everything he says, don't do that, don't touch that. He's like, come on, come over here and touch that and do that. And go ahead and eat two desserts and do those kinds of things. And why do we go over the top a little bit? Well, we're expressing the joy that comes from belonging to God. But there's a danger in that we're going to just indulge because this is the dessert I eat at Christmas and I have two pieces of it instead of one because it's Christmas. That's not the same thing as saying I'm going to eat and drink and love the people around me and give gifts and receive gifts and enjoy out of gratitude for Jesus. For without him, this is all chewing on cardboard. It's tasteless and it's emptiness without him. But because of him, we're going to enjoy God today. Amen. I urge you to think about that, because I know how it is. Sometimes I'm like, hey, it's Christmas time, I'm going to have an extra, or I'm going to sleep in, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to... And you know what that is? That's selfish indulgence for the sake of pleasing myself. And I urge you not to treat it that way. Instead, indulge in generosity and eat the fat and eat the marrow and go ahead and celebrate with others unto Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God as you do it. And if you can't give thanks to God as you do it, don't do it, right? Don't do it. You are enjoying God's joy. Parents, don't miss the opportunity this Christmas to build a connection to your children between your celebrations as a family and how it connects to celebrating the goodness of God's gift in Jesus. Take advantage of that. We have some tracks if you need help with that. We've got some tracks that make that connection. You can read that with your kids at some point this week. And all of it we know is part of a greater celebration, isn't it? It's practice. We are practicing. We are rehearsing. We are rehearsing for the day when we are home with him. So a great gift can include something we need, something we desire, something we can share, and something that's from the heart. Jesus Christ, who's been given to us for our salvation, has met our greatest need, our fundamental need as human beings, that we are separated from God by our sins, but now made one in Christ because of his death for our sins. We know that Jesus is something that we desire. For when we come to Christ and repent of our sins and trust in him, his Holy Spirit enters our hearts and lives and awakens us and gives us the light that the true light gives to everyone who believes. And we begin to see Jesus as beautiful and desirous, and we want to know more about him. Jesus, by coming, gives us something that we can share, for the gospel message is not something to hide under a bushel, but a light that is meant to shine like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, for God wants us to share Christ. We don't lose Christ in sharing him. We join Christ in sharing him. And Jesus is a gift from God's own heart to us. For he longs for all of his children to be home. And he's going to get us there. Amen. What an inexpressible gift. Would you take opportunity to thank him this week? Let's ask him for help. Worship team, if you'd come, prepare to sing. Father, Paul wrote to the Corinthians about a really steep financial need. And he was trying to make a bigger point when he said this. Thanks be to you for the inexpressible gift. if we scour all the presents and gifts and donations that have ever been given in all of history, and if we were to add them all up together into one massive gift that would cause the world to tilt, it could not come close to the value of your gift in giving us salvation through Jesus Christ, in giving us new birth, in giving us eternal life and the right to become children of God if we will receive him. Father, we don't have the language to thank you enough. But I do pray you would help us to grow in our gratitude day by day, that it would come out in words, that it would come out in us sharing him, that it would come out in our adoring him and worshiping him, and that it would come out in us growing closer to you. As we'll see next week, one of the reasons he came was to dwell with us. And we've been given the privilege to abide with Jesus. So help us to grow closer to you and walk with you. Father, we're going to need your help because as we're a tender body, and you know it full well, almost 20% of our membership is under a care issue right now, going through a crisis. And that's just those who've spoken. So we're tender and we're hurting and we're in need. And you know that. We pray that we might show our gratitude and receive from you help in a timely manner as we go through those challenges and as we face into Christmas and see family and friends and maybe just spend some time in a smaller group. Whatever the case may be, wherever we're headed to, I pray that you would help us to show your gratitude and to share it, that it may have an effect, a gospel-sharing effect on those who hear and see and experience our celebrations. We ask this so that Jesus can be glorified and so that we might share and enjoy your joy. In his name we pray. Amen.